Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, thankful for the opportunity you've given us tonight to study your divine word of truth. We pray, Lord, that Brother Goodwin preach the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, that he tell us in the conversion of the eunuch the message that Philip shared with him about a suffering Savior who the scriptures prophesied long ago who would suffer for the transgressions and for the iniquities of all of us. Pray, Lord, that in preaching the gospel tonight, that Brother Goodwin teaches that through that suffering is also great love, that through his burial there was a promise of his resurrection, that in his resurrection we now have life and can have life more abundantly. Pray, Lord, he tell us about that one body, the church of Christ that he purchased with his own blood, the same church that the eunuch was added to, Lord, that same church that those listening who are non-members can be added to this evening. Heavenly Father, we ask this prayer in your Son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Kalunda. We appreciate you so very much for working with us as well. And we are thankful tonight to have each and every person on the call, and Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. Tonight, we're very thankful to have all those who are on the call who are listening to us tonight. We pray you open your Bible up and pay attention to the things that be said by our speaker tonight, and especially pay attention to what he said about saving your soul. Tonight we have Brother Cliff Goodwin. I'm so excited he accepted our invitation. Cliff is a graduate of the Memphis School of Preaching in 1995 and also Faulkner University in 1997. He has preached for Ironton Church of Christ in Talladega, Alabama since 1996. He currently teaches on a limited basis at the Georgia School of Preaching, and he hosts a television program called Preaching the Gospel. Tonight, Brother Cliff Goodwin. Brother Cliff, tell us about the eunuch. Tell us about how he was saved.
I tell you, brother, the eunuch was saved by hearing the unadulterated gospel as Philip was able to teach it and preach it to him. And when he heard that message, he responded the way that all of us should, and that is by a receptive obedience. I am so thankful to all of you who have joined this conference call. I was thinking a few moments ago about this quite literally being a gospel call. We know from the Apostle Paul, who penned by inspiration 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14, we know that it is through the message of the gospel that God calls the souls of men and women even still today. And so how wonderful it is that we are blessed with this form of technology, that we can send out a gospel call in its own right. I am duty-bound for the next 25 or 30 minutes. I am duty-bound to preach only the gospel. Book, chapter, and verse preaching, that will be my intent. That will be my aim. And I want to invite all of you who are currently listening in, please take your Bibles and open them with me to the book of Acts. I have my Bible laid open to Acts chapter 8, and here in just a few moments, we will take up reading at verse 26, and we'll be learning about how the eunuch was saved. But before we do that, let me say just a word more about the theme for this series this week. Have ye not read? You know, oftentimes when religion and religious matters come up, some people might say, well, friend, this is what my mama and my daddy, this is what they always believed, and this is what they taught me, and therefore, this is what I believe. But you know, our Lord would respond, have ye not read? Meaning, regardless of what our beloved parents might have taught us, have we not read in the Scripture? Have we not read in the inspired Word of God to find the truth? Remember that Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, our parents, I'm sure they loved us. I'm sure that we loved our parents, but we must love the Lord above all. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 37, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." We've got to love the Lord most and above all. It is His truth to which we must turn. It is His truth which we must believe and obey. But still, another person might say, "Well, friend, I believe what my pastor has said, or I believe what Reverend so-and-so has taught, or I believe what my preacher has said." And in this way, likewise, our Lord could very well respond, "Have you not read? Have you not read the Scriptures?" You know, we are not to take any man's word in the place of the Word of God. And dear friends, even tonight, that applies to Cliff Goodwin. I'm not going to say anything that I want you to take my word on the matter. Instead, I'm encouraging you right here and right now. Please open your Bible with me to Acts chapter 8, because we must read what the Word of God says. I am no authority. No man living on earth today is any authority. The authority rests in Jesus Christ and in His gospel message, the fullness of which He revealed through His apostles and inspired men of the first century, and how blessed we are to have a written record of it today in the Scriptures. And so how important is our theme this week, "Have you not read?" Regardless of what your parents might have taught you, have you not read? Regardless of what your pastor, your reverend, your preacher might teach you, have you not read? Now, with these things being said, we're ready for Acts chapter 8. We're ready to read, beginning at verse 26. Here the Word of God says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he, that is Philip, rose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. This man was returning," verse 28, "and sitting in his chariot, he read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." Verse 30, "And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the Scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man?" Now notice especially verse 35. "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." Dear friends and dear listeners, I want you to notice with me tonight from Acts chapter 8 just how the Ethiopian eunuch of old was saved. As we do this, I would like to begin in the first place by noticing a manner in which the eunuch was not saved. Now please, be sure to catch that. We're noticing first how the eunuch was not saved. And based on what we've just read in verses 26 through 35, we can see from the Scripture that the eunuch was not saved by a direct operation of the Holy Spirit upon his heart. Someone says, "Preacher, now what are you talking about? A direct operation of the Holy Spirit upon this man's heart. What do you mean?" Well, I want you to notice there in verse 26 that the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, telling Philip to arise and to go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Well, according to verse 27, Philip does so. And then you move down to verse 29, which we read a moment ago. Notice now, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." Dear friends, dear listeners, please notice with me that in verse 26, it was to Philip, the evangelist, Philip, a man who was already saved, that the angel of the Lord spake. It was unto Philip that the angel of the Lord gave those directions. And then, dear friends, notice with me in verse 29 once again that it was unto Philip, the evangelist, Philip, a man who had already been saved, that the Spirit said unto him, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." In fact, dear friends, you can read all of this context, Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26, which we have done, and you can even continue through to the end of the chapter at verse 40. And you will realize, you will see with me, that the Holy Spirit does not come directly to the eunuch. The Holy Spirit does not operate in some kind of direct or immediate fashion upon his heart. Instead, the eunuch is taught in much the same way that lost souls are taught still today. And that is by someone, in this case, Philip, someone coming to him with the gospel message, sitting down, as it were, and teaching and preaching the word of God to that lost soul. Friends, that is so important. How sad it is that there are so many people, and there have been through the years, so many people who have sat back and they have waited on the Holy Spirit to come upon them. They have waited for some way or in some manner for the Spirit to operate on their heart and to impact them directly. And yet that is not God's plan. That is not God's plan that we read and see clearly in Acts 8. And it is certainly not God's plan today. God intends that his gospel message be taken to a lost and dying world, and that it be taken by other people, by those of us who have already learned it, those of us who have already obeyed it. We are tasked with the responsibility of going in turn now and taking this gospel message to those round about us who are yet untaught, who are yet unsaved. How important it is that we notice in the first place that the eunuch was not saved by a direct operation of the Holy Spirit upon his heart. No, not at all. But instead, the eunuch was only saved after that the gospel had been brought to him by a fellow human being. Now, as we build on this by way of contrast, notice that again, instead of a direct operation of the Holy Spirit, notice the involvement of Scripture and the involvement of the Word of God in this process. It's interesting that we read there in verse 28 that the eunuch was returning and sitting in his chariot, he read Isaiah the prophet. Isn't that something? And you know, still today, those of us who are trying to evangelize lost souls, those of us who are trying to soul win for Jesus, trying to win souls for the Master, isn't it still the case today that any time we can encounter somebody who is already reading his or her Bible, doesn't that often open the door? Doesn't that often make for a soul that is more receptive more ready, perhaps even more eager to learn and to know the truth. And so we notice there in verse 28 that the eunuch was already reading a portion of the Old Testament Bible. But you know what? At this early point in Christianity, at the time of Acts chapter 8 in which we're studying, you know, the New Testament had not yet been written down. It had not yet been fully recorded in the form that we are so blessed to have and to possess it in our day and time. And so, as the late Paul Harvey was famous for saying, the eunuch did not yet have the rest of the story. And that's where Philip, the evangelist, comes in. He came and he joined himself to the chariot, as he was commanded to do in verse 29. And then he asked the eunuch at the end of verse 30. He said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" Verse 31, the eunuch responded, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now again, the eunuch was in a dilemma. And the reason he was in a dilemma is because he only had a portion of God's revelation. He had access to the Old Testament scriptures. In fact, as we've noted, he was even reading from the book of Isaiah, a portion that we recognize as Isaiah chapter 53. And yet at this point, the eunuch had not been exposed to the fullness of the gospel. We know from earlier in this chapter, Acts chapter 8, we know that Philip was an inspired man. He was an inspired preacher and teacher of the gospel. We know that from earlier in Acts 8 and verse 6, where we read, "And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." And so the Holy Spirit was miraculously working through Philip earlier in this chapter, empowering him to work these miraculous deeds. Now, what did those deeds do? Well, they confirmed the message that Philip had been bringing to the inhabitants of Samaria. Mark chapter 16, verses 17 through 20 teach us that the purpose of miracles in the first century was to confirm the Word of God. And so it was that Philip had brought the Word of God. In fact, he had brought the gospel of Jesus Christ to Samaria. He was preaching this new message to them. It was new in the sense that this is the new covenant of Jesus Christ. And the miracles that he worked were confirmation of the message that he preached. And so we know now in the latter portion of Acts 8 that Philip was an inspired gospel preacher. We know that he was preaching and teaching to the eunuch the gospel of Jesus, the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, yea, even the prophecy that Isaiah had given in what you and I know as Isaiah chapter 53. The very passage from which the eunuch had been reading. And so we read then in verse 35 that Philip was able to open his mouth, probably indicating to us that this was a solemn undertaking, that this was serious business, and Philip recognized it as such. And he began at the same scripture. Philip was able to pick up right there in Isaiah chapter 53, and he preached unto the eunuch Jesus. Philip was able to take the Old Testament scriptures, lay them alongside the New Testament revelation, the New Testament fulfillment of those very scriptures, and thereby the eunuch came to understand. He came to understand what he had been reading. Now, today, you and I, we are blessed to have the fullness of revelation. We have the entire Word of God, testaments both old and new. You and I, we can read the various promises, the various prophecies found in the Old Testament. And then in just a moment, we can turn over in our Bibles to the New Testament, and we can read the very fulfillment of those promises of old, how blessed we are to have the Scripture. But I want us to notice that it was indeed the Scripture. It was indeed the Word of God, as preached and taught by Philip, an inspired man, that was involved in converting and saving the eunuch's soul. Dear friends, that's going to be the case with us today. We need not wait. We need not sit idly waiting for the Holy Spirit to directly come upon us. What we need to do is we need to get into the Word. We need to open the Word of God and be students of the Bible, because it is through that gospel message that God calls men today. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. Now, let's go back to our text in Acts 8. Ending off at verse 35, where we did a moment ago, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, verse 36, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now notice verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, in the next place this evening, dear friends and listeners, let us observe from Acts 8 how the eunuch was not saved. And that is, he was not saved by praying a sinner's prayer. Isn't that striking? Isn't that interesting that as we continued reading from verse 35 through the end of the chapter, we don't read anything whatsoever about the eunuch's praying a sinner's prayer. Dear friends, it is tragic. It is tragic beyond description that in our modern religious world, all too often, when a pitiable lost soul comes forward responding to some kind of altar call, as it were, asking what he or she must do in order to be saved, how sad that they are very often told that you need to pray the sinner's prayer and receive Jesus into your heart. Friends, do we read such right here in Acts 8? And the answer would be no. In fact, do we read such back in Acts 2? The answer would be no. Do we read such in Acts 10, or in Acts 16, or in Acts 22? And the answer again and again would be no. In fact, you can comb your New Testament from Matthew through Revelation. You can look at it high and look at it low, and you will never find an occasion, no, not one, in which a lost alien sinner, in trying to come to God, is ever told, is ever commanded to pray a so-called sinner's prayer. And that certainly was not told to the eunuch here in Acts chapter 8. Now notice back in verse 35 that all we know is generically that Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Notice how general a statement that is. Wouldn't you love to know the specifics about which Philip preached and about which he spoke? I would. I would love to know the specifics, but God, in his infinite wisdom, he realizes that we do not need to know the specifics, not with any minute detail, or else he would have revealed it to us. But you know, there are some things that we can know that Philip must have said to the eunuch by what we read in what follows. For example, he must have said something about baptism, because verse 36 says, and as they went on their way, They came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Now, friends, this is ungetoverable. You and I, we cannot get over this. We know from verses 35 and 36 that for a man to truly preach Jesus, as Philip did, he must preach baptism. We know that because Philip is said to have preached Jesus to the eunuch, and then immediately in the next verse, the eunuch is asking, "Hey, why can I not be baptized right here and right now?" Friends, isn't that amazing? Now, something else that we know Philip must have covered in his preaching and his teaching to the eunuch, and that is the deity of Jesus Christ. The fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yes, Jesus came and he lived as a man, but he was not merely a man. Rather, he was God come in the flesh. We learn that from John chapter 1, verses 1 and 14. Also from 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Very appropriately, we might refer to Jesus as the God-man, the one who was totally God, totally divine, and yet at the same time totally human, so that he could be tempted in all points, like as are we. Hebrews 4 and verse 15. And so when Philip asked him, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest," the eunuch immediately responded in verse 37, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That is, that Jesus is deity come in the flesh. And then quickly, one more thing that we notice, a means whereby the eunuch was not saved. And that is, he was not saved by being sprinkled with water. I know that because in verse 38, the Bible says that he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water. Now, isn't that peculiar? If the eunuch were only to be sprinkled, then why would either one of these men go down both into the water? Why? Well, that's because there's not a sprinkling that's going on here. The word baptism or baptized means to be buried. It means to dip or plunge or immerse. And so verse 38 says they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now, dear friends and dear listeners, I call upon all of you here tonight. Have you not read? Have you not read in the Word of God, Acts chapter 8, how the eunuch was saved? He was saved when a fellow human being, another person, brought the gospel message to him and taught him. He was saved when he believed with all of his heart in the deity of Jesus Christ. The fact that Jesus is the only one uniquely qualified and possessing the authority to be man's much-needed Savior. He was saved only when he responded to that gospel message in obedience. He was baptized. It wasn't put off a week. It wasn't put off a month. It wasn't even put off an hour. They stopped right then and right there on the Gaza Road, and he was baptized, buried in water. Friends, that same pattern of salvation, it is still binding, it is still amenable, it is still available to all men and women living today. We must hear the good news of Jesus Christ, even as Philip shared that good news with the eunuch. We must believe that good news, that gospel message, even as the eunuch believed. We also must be willing to repent. A very necessary step in the plan of salvation that we don't read about explicitly here in Acts 8, but we do read about it explicitly in Acts 2. We do read about it explicitly in Acts 17, Acts 26, and in various other passages. We must repent, meaning that we choose to turn away from the practice of sin in order to consecrate and give our lives to the Lord. And then, as the eunuch did here in Acts 8 and verse 37, we must confess Jesus even before others. There must be no shame. There must be no reservation. We must confess with our mouth, as Paul touches upon in Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then also, as the eunuch is so clearly seen to do here, we must be baptized. Buried, as we say often, in a watery grave. But why? In order that the old man might be buried and put away, and in order that we might rise up out of that watery grave to walk in newness of life. That's the way the Holy Spirit described it through the Apostle Paul as he penned Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Now, friends, have you not read? Have you not read how the eunuch was saved? Have you not read throughout the New Testament how you and I are to be saved even today by hearing, by believing, by repenting, by confessing, and by being baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27, into the church of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, Romans 16 and verse 16, and how that we are to be baptized in order that our sins be washed away. I am so thankful for all that Jesus has not only done for me, certainly, but what he has done for the whole world. I'm so thankful that God, in his infinite wisdom, has seen fit to preserve an inspired record of this redemptive work in the book that you and I know as the Bible. I'm so thankful that we have the Bible still today and that we can turn into it. We can open its pages as we have done tonight, and we can find example after example of those in the New Testament era who were saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I ask you again, have ye not read? Friends, if any of you are interested in learning more about the gospel message, Brother Tommy Brooks, he is going to be able to tell you how you can learn more about it at this time. I'm going to turn it over to Brother Brooks.
Thank you, Brother Goodwin. We are so thankful for this message tonight. We appreciate you so very much, and you have made it plain and simple. That's exactly what we're looking for. To those who are listening tonight on the call who are not members of the Church of Christ, we wanted you to hear this. This man, the eunuch, was saved the way you need to be saved. And we pray tonight you have received God's word with meekness. We know it's able to save your soul. Now, you may have questions. You may want to be baptized immediately. We want you to do this. Get back with the person who invited you to the call, and they can assist you. Or you can email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will make the arrangements to get you baptized or have a Bible class for you, whatever we need to do. Or perhaps you want to go back and listen to it just by yourself and you want to listen to the message. It's recorded. All of our messages are recorded. You can go to our website. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. And then you can download these messages. You can look at them and listen to them. Replay them if you need to, stop them and write the scriptures down, take notes. This is for you. We're trying to help you to know. Listen, the Bible is right. Every word of the Bible is right. You got to read it, though. You must believe it. If you read it and believe it, you'll obey it. And we're confident that anything we can do to help you, we would love to do that for you. Let us pray to God about it. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings. We love you, Father, for loving the world. Your love was shown in giving your only Son. He gave his life on that cross where he hung between the two thieves with nails in his hands and his feet. For 6 long hours he suffered that humiliating and death filled with excruciating pain. The agony of the cross, we must be reminded. And he said, greater love than no man than this. He would lay down his life for his friends. So, Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for his life, his decision to give his life for us as his friends. Now we pray for our friends and family and loved ones who have heard the truth tonight, those who are not members of the Church of Christ, those who have not been baptized for the remission of sins, those who may pray the sinner's prayer or were sprinkled, done all the things that we know the eunuch did not do. Lord, help them understand this truth and obey it before it's eternally too late. We love you and thank you, Father, for giving us your word. And in it, we can read. We can read. As long as we read, we can know what Paul and the rest of the apostles knew about your will. And Philip and all those men who taught your word, we know we have to read what they wrote. Be with our audience tonight. Be with our brothers and sisters across the nation. Continue to join us each night. We love you all. We love them. Father, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for calling tonight. Tomorrow night's the last night for this week, Brother Gary Collin. We're going to talk about the baptism, disciples, second baptism. The people who have been baptized before, they're still not saved. You don't want to miss this message tomorrow night. You need to understand the importance of getting the right baptism. Brother Collin is going to talk about that in Acts chapter 19. So we look forward to hearing him tomorrow night. We pray you'll come on tomorrow night. Let's close this week out with a large audience. Invite a lot of people. Invite your friends and family and those who will listen. We thank you for calling tonight. We thank everyone who supported us financially, those who have supported us through prayer, those who have supported us calling and continuing to call. We don't know when we're going to stop. We're continuing to go with it. If you want to support us financially, go to our website at HollandHeightsCLC.net. Go to online giving. There's a tab there for Holland Heights Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call. We appreciate you all. May God bless each of you, is our prayer. Good night.